This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am so delighted and happy to be with you today. We have great opportunity when we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to lift up this poor, beleaguered world in which we live and to present it before the throne of Almighty God in heaven. And we're going to be doing some of that through the course of our time together today. I do want to recommend that you get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. You know, we have an opportunity there for you that I think is very important, especially when we're living through times such as we are living through right now, where we are seeing the most heinous actions being played out in our living rooms through media of all stripes and different kinds. We wonder, what is it that we can do? Well, I'll tell you what we can do. We can pray. We can certainly pray. And the best kind of prayer that we can offer is the greatest prayer that we have, and that prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so in a moment like this, when we're watching horror and we're watching terror and we're watching actions that truly come from the pit of hell being played out in our communities, in our schools, throughout the various ways in which we are made aware of the what happens when we are not living underneath that beautiful jurisdiction that comes to us by way of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we're seeing all of that, we want to come together as the mystical body of Christ. And on our website, we have an opportunity for you to have masses said. You know, we saw what happened in Uvalde last evening, and I don't know about you. I'm having trouble, you know, in my spirit just appropriating all of this, and there's no making sense out of these kinds of actions, but just in having lost a child, I know what that pain is, and I'm thinking of all of that pain times by the number of family members who are experiencing the aftermath of this rampage of horror. And I'm thinking, what can I do? I can certainly pray intercessory prayer, and we all need to do that. But the best way, the very best way that we can be of help and service in addition to our personal prayer, is by having a Mass celebrated for all of these families, asking God to release from heaven all of the graces that they need. And so I just want to remind you that we have opportunities for you through Women of Grace for that to happen, and really to happen almost immediately. So you can go out to our website. We've got a button there that says Need a Mass. You click on that button, and you will see a little explanation that heads this off, telling you that we are in partnership with the Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda, and his priests are praying masses that come through Women of Grace, all of the intentions. So you can have single masses celebrated. You can have a novena of masses celebrated if you desire. And that's available for you there. And the proceeds, are stipends that go to these priests that help them to continue their ministry there. It's a very poor nation. So it's a corporal and a spiritual work of mercy. But God works through these opportunities in tremendous ways. So if you're wondering, what can I do? Well, that is what you can do. You can have a Mass celebrated for them. You can pray the rosary. You can enter into, a novena of your own making that you pray. We've got beautiful novena prayers within our church, beautiful litanies within our church that meet the need of a time such as this. So I want to encourage you to do that. We'll only see in heaven the efficacy of our prayers. We'll only see in heaven the way in which the graces flowing from the holy sacrifice of the Mass were made available and appropriated in the lives of these individuals and in the lives of these dear little children who lost their lives. It's just babies, just little babies, really. in terms of the distance that life usually takes us. So I wanted to begin with that today, because it's not possible to go forward in the program without acknowledging the corporate grief that we're all experiencing in union with all of those that lost children in this massacre that took place yesterday. Oh my goodness, Father God, we just lift all of these people up to you in this moment. We lift up the moms and the dads and the aunts and the uncles and the grandparents. We lift up the entirety of the community in Uvalde. We lift up, Father God, all of the co-workers of those people who lost their lives, the two adults. Father, we remember the soul of the assailant. We can only begin to imagine, and maybe we can't even begin to do that, what must have led to such a heinous action. We pray for his soul, Lord God. We ask bountiful mercy and bountiful blessing to be released in this moment to this grieving community and really to this grieving nation. Father, we ask that our Blessed Lady would go among these, her spiritual children, and share with them her maternal consolation, her maternal love. She understands the loss of a child in a way that none of us can comprehend, even if we have lost a child. She is perfectly equipped to be able to bring every spiritual blessing in the heavens that they need to them. At every moment of this day and all of the days that will unfold into the future, we ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit would be tremendously active in the lives of these people, imbuing them with the counsel that they need at this moment. And we ask that redemptive grace that forever flows down Calvary's Hill would flow into the homes of all of those who lost children, into the homes of all of those who empathetically unite themselves to these families, into those streets and highways and byways that make up the city of Uvalde, into that school building where lives were taken. We just ask that you drench it in your most precious blood, Lord. Father God, we offer you this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Well, when we come back from our break, you know it is Wednesday. That means that Sue Brinkman is with us. We're going to be talking about some wacky things and horrific things. But we are a people of hope and we are a people of faith. And we continue to cling to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. More to come on the other side of the break. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Visit EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, and use the chat feature there to get your questions or comments up. We're coming right back. Stay with us. Well, welcome back, everybody. You hear that music? That is the music that we set aside for this particular time every Wednesday. It lets us know that we're talking about Wacky Wednesday with Sue Brinkman, who is not so wacky, but really has a great handle on all of this stuff. She's been researching it in depth for a number of years, many years at this point in time. And I want to remind you that we have available for you right out there at our website, our New Age blog, right? And we've added something for you to make it easy breezy for you. So when you go to our homepage, you're going to see the word, as you scroll down there, blog, and then right next to it, New Age Q&A. So if you click on the New Age Q&A, it's going to take you directly to this repository of questions and answers that Sue has provided for us on a great variety of many of the topics that are flooding us in terms of the occult today, many of the modalities that are available to us through alternative medicines. It's all available for you there. And when you get out there, you're going to see that you can actually do a search and it's going to pull things up for you. In addition to that, we're offering you something in our library area. So if you go up like to our nav bar, which I'm doing right now as I speak to you, in the pink portion, you're going to see library, and you click on that. And when you go out there, you're going to see Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness, Women of Grace. And these are Grace Under Fire video podcasts. Now you click on this, and Sue is going to be giving you a little teaching or background information on the various kinds of things that we talk about on the radio, the various kinds of things that make up this false spirituality of the New Age movement. You'll see we've got, and you can click on different topic areas. So we've got some under yoga, New Age, occult, prayer and meditation, energy meditation, alternative medicine, and you'll be able to actually watch and listen to Sue present on these things. So we, you know, really encourage you to get out there and to take advantage of what we have available for you. And I want to tell you, all of this is accessible via our Women of Grace app. So if you download our free Women of Grace app, you will be able to access anything that is on our website. So even if you have a spare couple of moments somewhere, you can pull up the blog and read articles. You can pull up the New Age Q&A and read the articles that Sue has there. You can go out there and watch anything that we've got available for you in our library, our Grace Under Fire podcasts. So, you know, I really want to encourage you to do that because it's very, very helpful. I also want to encourage you to always check our events section on our website. And you're going to see that on June the 2nd, we're going to have a great opportunity for you. Now, that is a week from tomorrow. And it's Tongues of Fire Women of Grace online Pentecost event. It is going to be lovely. It's a Thursday evening. It begins at 6:30, ends at 9 o'clock. Those are Eastern times. Adjust for your time zone. Deacon Larry Oney is with us. Andy Oney, his beautiful wife, is with us. I am going to be saying a few words there. Susan Potvin is going to be with us doing praise and worship music. We want for you to join us. You don't have to leave. You don't have to fly anywhere. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can be in the comfort of your own home and join us for this event. We want you to be there. What do we need today? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to experience the way in which God desires to flood us with his own divine life, that we might act in and through his power. We might receive the power from on high and then be dispensers of that power. That's what this Pentecost event is all about. That's what Pentecost is all about. That's what the sacrament of confirmation is all about. Stirring up those gifts that we received in our baptism, that we might come to full stature in Christ Jesus, and that we might bring the life and the love of God into this world that is so anti-God, so anti-Christian, so anti-Catholic Church. We can bring it right into the areas where we are and influence the lives of the people right in our midst. It will enhance our time of prayer with the Lord. Our prayers will be more efficacious, more powerful. We're going to discover that our own person in Christ Jesus is being built up. God is renewing the mind. I'm telling you, all of these things, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes down. And we're going to have an opportunity to explore all of these realities together to see how we can accept and receive what God wants to give us, and then how we can be dispensers of that into this day and time. Just want to tell you, you know, you are the believer, and God's entrusted this day and time to you. He's entrusted it to me. He wants to give us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. All blessings come through the Holy Spirit by way of our Blessed Lady. She is the mediatrix and she is the distributrix of all graces. But it's God's power that is being given to us through her holy and immaculate hands. So I want you to get out there. I want you to join us. So go out and check it out. So, Sue, good morning to you.
Good morning. Boy, that was such a great intro to that Tongues of Fire. You know, when things are going on in this world and we see what's happening now, we know what happened last night, the horrible tragedy in Uvalde, yep. But we need the Holy Spirit now.
Amen.
More than ever. We need Him desperately, especially when we listen to this stuff and we want to feel these feelings of disappointment and discouragement. And, oh, Lord, you know, how can you be with us letting these things happen? This is where the Holy Spirit comes in, because through, as you said, the mediation of Our Lady, we have a stockpile of grace, which mm-hmm. is strength. It gives mm-hmm. us strength in order to endure this, in order to put aside those thoughts of discouragement and look to what we can do, which
That's
is joined
right.
together in prayer at times like this. And to just ask the Lord, don't let me give in to that discouragement, Lord. You know, help me to be able to see you in all of this and to see your will in all of this and to be at peace. You know, this is where we need the Holy Spirit. And I think that he's so overlooked, don't you think? I mean, he's just overlooked.
Well, I think that we don't believe. I think that this is the big problem that we have. We look at everything. I'm thinking right now of Father Emil Neubert, and in his book, in the introduction to his book, Queen of Militants, which, by the way, is available for you out there at EWTNRC.com, which is the website of EWTN's religious catalog. It's called Queen of Militants. We are the church militant. Mary is our queen. And in this, he describes what it is that we can do in times such as this. And he's writing this right after the close of the Second World War. And he uses a phrase in there, Sue. He says, we must not beat the air. Our every step and our every action must lead to victory. And that victory is bringing the truth of Jesus Christ to the world. And when you talk about, when you're sharing about discouragement and despair, you know, and oh, this is awful. And that's why we prayed the prayer at the beginning. Because as soon as we begin to look at the horror, we know that there is a response. And that response is always our response to the graces that God wants to bring down into this day and time. So we are not left powerless. We are not left without capacity, but we cannot beat the air. We've got to say, okay, so what can I do? Well, we can pray, as we were talking about, but you're so right. We don't allow ourselves to enter into that because of disbelief. Well, God doesn't want to use me and I'm never going to, and these women are crazy. No, you know, try it and see what happens, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you're not going to know until you try it. But boy, I'll tell you what, anybody who's experienced grace, an actual grace, will tell you this. We need it. You need
That's
to
right.
have it in order to get along in this world without being crushed inside all the time. I mean, when things happen, like what happened yesterday, 21 mm-hmm. people are dead. 19 of them are children.
Yes.
19 of them are children. Your beautiful prayer that you just prayed for them, just tears were just running down my face listening to that beautiful prayer. We have to have that right now because mm-hmm. we're under intense persecution. Okay, it's white persecution. Mm-hmm. That's just what we're suffering right now. The Christian moral, the Christian ethics are just being tossed out the window. We're being ridiculed on every front. Nobody wants to listen to us anymore. And they're all reaching for what? They're reaching for the occult. They're reaching for New Age stuff. This is what's happening right now. This is what's
right.
happening. This great spiritual dearth is leading to people turning to things other than God, and they're getting themselves in a heck of a lot of trouble for doing it.
Well, you know, when we sideline God, and that's what we've done in this culture, we have sidelined God. When we sideline God, there is a void that's created, right? We sideline Him. We kick Him out, and there's a void that's created. Well, nature abhors a vacuum, and so does the supernatural, you know, supernatural, right? So what happens? The evil one comes in and fills it. So we've sidelined God in our culture. We've driven Him out. We act, even if we say, you know, we are believers, the question is, are we really believers or are we just going through the actions? I'm hoping that we're not. I'm hoping that we are doing more than the actions, that we are firmly entrenched in the things of the Lord, because that becomes the light shining in the darkness. But nature abhors a vacuum, the supernatural abhors a vacuum, and it gets filled. So, you know, I think that what you're saying here is so right. We look at this young man and we say, what could have possessed him? Well, something did possess him. You know, a spirit of murder possessed this boy. How did that spirit of murder get in there? I don't know. We'd have to look into his life. I mean, there's all kinds of psychological reasons why this could have happened. There's even reasons it could have happened if he wasn't, nurtured in his early years. Know nothing about this young man so far. Nothing's been said. But he could have been involved involved in some of these video games that open up to violence. These are all portals. We don't know what he was doing, but something caused this to happen. Something caused it. This is not the action of somebody who is completely unscathed by certain realities. And so that murderous spirit entered somehow. And we look at it and we say, well, this is awful, this is terrible. But are we really protecting ourselves against these things? Are we really protecting our children against these things? You know, are we paying attention to what they're watching on media, what they're listening to on media, the kind of music that they're playing, listening to, the games that they're playing? You know, it's a big issue. But the bottom line is, we need God back in this culture. We need to be hearing about God, in every form of media that we have, because he's the all-powerful one.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's now evidence coming out about this young man being on social media, tagging people, showing them pictures of their guns, of his guns, and that, and the clips that he was using in his rifle. This is another source of problem, I think, with young people, is social media. And you have people out there really kind of playing games with that. I mean, they're not being themselves. We all know that they go out there and just make themselves look really wonderful, and they put on air, and they try to be people that they're not, but they're influencing. They're influencing other teens. Who knows what influenced this young man? Who knows what was going on in that house that caused him to gun down his own grandmother? We don't know what was going on in his life. And he could have had any kind of mental challenge, too. This is something that always disturbs me. Your heart goes out to these people who do have mental issues that are not getting the care that they need for whatever reason. They're not getting the care they need, or they have the meds and they're not taking them. There's got to be something more we can do to help them. I know that it always turns to gun control when something like this happens, but we have to get beyond just gun control. Why are they reaching for the gun? That's what we need to grapple with. Why are they reaching for the gun in the first place? Why do they think that that's the answer?
Right.
Their problem.
It's an unfortunate reality that already immediately this became a politicized kind of a thing, where it was, when are we going to learn to get rid of the guns? Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. The gun is a neutral reality. There's no morality with a gun. The gun is, it's what you do with the gun, right? So where the morality lies is within the individual and how the individual uses the gun. And criminals or deranged people will always have access. They will always get them because so many of these firearms are illegal. So that's the point. So the point is, no, it isn't about gun control. It's about developing a culture that's made up of individuals who have been fashioned, according to the mind and the heart of God, and know the difference between right and wrong, and seek for the good. And many of our young people, I don't know the case with this kid, but many of our young people are nihilists, that they see no future. They see absolutely no future. And so they fall into despair. And in despair and in their misery, they act out in a way that is just absolutely unconscionable. The thing of it is that as you say, Sue, we need to be helping these individuals that have these problems. We have to be creating atmospheres and in our schools and within our communities that are raising up solid citizens, solid individuals. Judeo-Christian ethos is no more, and we are traveling in a world that we have never experienced, at least in this country, before. We've got to do a better job of responding. So,
that is,
my goodness.
That is so true. That is so true. We just have to, you know, like I say, keep up that prayer, but we also have to pray for these souls who are so far from God that they might return, that there could be some crack in that, some little crack in that soul somewhere that's going to allow the grace to get in there, and pray that they will, because the reason that I think one of the reasons that they have lost all hope is because we've become so materialistic. We only believe in what we see. We have lost sight of the supernatural. The supernatural opens up a realm of all new possibilities.
Yes.
And when you take those possibilities away from a young kid, they think that what's going on in front of them is never going to end. This is going to go on forever. And, you know, the evil one is just having a field day with his head and telling him stuff like this. And what ends up happening? They kill themselves. They kill other people. They turn to violence of some kind. They turn to drugs. This is what it is. When you take God away from people, you take away their hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say to myself, you know, in those moments in my life, and especially the one in particular, when the Lord really did get me and brought me back to Him, it was a dark, dark moment, one of the darkest moments in my life. But something in me told me that, hey, you know what? There is a God. People say there's a God. You know, this is where I was in my before I was converted. People say there is a God. And if He's really out there, maybe He'll help me. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll turn to Him. But see, they don't have that anymore.
No.
They've thrown that out the window.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, too, you know, I'm thinking about Pope Paul VI, now saint, and I am thinking about his prophetic encyclical, Humanae Vitae, and what he said would happen if contraception became wholesale. And he said it would lead to all of these things. And when we have given our children the witness that it is okay, perfectly fine, to kill the child growing in the womb of its mother, for the mom to take that baby's life, then we know we're heading down a path where life has no meaning and life has no value. And we see that now where, you know, there's efforts to be able to kill the child up to 24 days old after it's born. We see this with the push towards euthanasia at the end of life. So we're telling our children, this is what we're telling them. You have no value. You have no meaning. And when we see that, then people begin to act that out. And there is an influence there, too. I don't know to what extent. Well, we're going to a break. We are going to be coming right back after that break. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, friends, you just heard those numbers to use to give us a call here. Matt Gabinski is our call screener. He's eager to hear from you. So am I. So is Sue. So do pick up the phone and dial a few numbers. I don't guess we really dial. We kind of punch today instead of dialing. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. In addition to that, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there to put your question or comment. Jeff Burson, our social media manager and producer, will dash out there and he'll retrieve it and he'll put it up on the board and we will be able to address it that way. If you're a first timer, let the guys know. And we will ring the bell for you for your debut. Want to remind you about the June 2nd Pentecost event. It's an online event. Women of Grace is putting it on. Tongues as a Fire is what the theme is all about. We've got Deacon Larry Oney, his beautiful wife Andy Oney coming. They're our main presenters. I'll chime in with a word or two. And Susan Podvin is going to be leading us in praise and worship music. And she is great. I'll tell you what, that girl, she is a tremendous minister of music. God's just given her a great gift. So we don't want you to miss that opportunity. We need to get under the spout where the glory pours out. And it's going to be pouring out through this online event. I know. As we prepare ourselves to receive the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. So do join us. It's a Thursday evening, 6:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And you can do it right from your own home. Well, Sue, are you ready to take some questions? We had a topic prepared, but we kind of were felt we needed to discuss the situation that happened there in Uvalde last evening. And we'll get to our topic, perhaps, that would be good. We want to get out to Neely, though. She's been holding since the very beginning of the program, and she is a first-time caller. Oh, excuse me. It's a man. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Nelly. It's not Nelly. It's Neely. And here we go. We're happy to have you with us, Neely. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
We hear you just swell. Thank you.
Well, I've enjoyed the conversation so far. And I guess, respectfully, I just wanted to kind of ask you to consider it is indeed such a complex problem that challenges our society with the result of the children killed at the school again. So the Pope in a little news clip before your program included in his thoughts the indiscriminate trafficking of arms. Maybe you can address what you think he might mean by that. And can we indeed, at least in our prayer, ask our leaders, ask God to give our leaders at least an open mind to see what all can be done and that God lead us in the right direction. So I guess, like I said, I'm a little bit of a challenge on when I pray, should I be including God's direction for our leaders to, again, address the issue? Are there some minor steps for some gun control that might help this very complex issue? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're very welcome, and thanks for calling in, Neely. And I mean, you know, you really do communicate your empathy for all of those lives that were lost and the empathy for all of those who are their survivors, their parents, their grandparents, their aunts, uncles, their neighbors and friends, the rest of that school community. It's just a horror beyond belief. So what do you make of this? I've got the article up via Vatican News here. Texas shootings, Pope condemns indiscriminate trafficking of arms. What do you see about that word indiscriminate? I'm confused by the statement a little bit.
Well, the trafficking of arms means that it's the movement of guns from legal to illegal hands. Mm-hmm. That's really what that means. And it's through certain streams of commerce, particularly they watch for it going across state lines. They're trying to do anything to get the gun into a situation where it can't be traced or nobody can find it or the owner can't. But it's the problem with the indiscriminate trafficking is really about secondary sales from private sellers of the guns. This is like somebody buys a gun for somebody else. Okay, they go in there and say, oh yeah, I want to buy this gun, but they're actually going to take that gun, go home and give it to this person or that person. Thing. That's what I think he means by the indiscriminate trafficking of guns. People that are buying guns who can legally have that guns, but then are selling them, or giving them away. It can come from thieves going in and robbing gun stores and that. There's different things you can do. There's even guns that you can make yourself at home. And I mean, there's ways that you can get around and supervent the law that these guns are falling into the wrong hands. And you look at what's going on in the streets of big cities like where I am in Philadelphia, these kids are just tossing the guns one to the other. I mean, they all have them. They're all getting guns. And somebody somewhere is doing that, is allowing those kids to have those guns. Now, sometimes the children are taking the guns from their parents. You know, their parents aren't locking the guns up. I think there's a lot to do. I agree with Neely. There's a lot that can be done as far as acting responsible, being a responsible gun owner. I think there's a lot that can be done on that. And I don't know why people are walking around with high-powered rifles and stuff. I mean, it's sad. It's very sad the way this stuff falls into the wrong hands. But that's a fact of life. That's what's happening. And that indiscriminate trafficking of arms, that is how these weapons are getting into the wrong hands, is through that trafficking.
Yeah, and I guess maybe at first reading of that headline, Pope condemns indiscriminate trafficking of arms. There is no discriminate way to traffic arms. You know, the idea is that, you know, it's all wrong to traffic arms. And there has to be, I think, you know, I guess what I want to just suggest is that, again, you know, the gun doesn't kill people. People kill people, and sometimes they use a gun. And they kill people in other ways, too. That is always wrong. And the problem is, I think that the greater problem is, you know, if you're thinking about the political reality of this and the Second Amendment right, you don't want to lose that right to bear arms, because then the only ones who have the guns are criminals. And as you say, these kids get them. You can make the gun at home. They have gun kits that you can purchase. That would be a way to regulate. You know, that would be a way to regulate. No gun kits, right? It's illegal to. But again, still, people who have evil intention will always get guns, right? So the problem is, and I think the root of this is that we have to raise morally good people. We have to have a culture that promotes the virtues. We have to have a culture that functions according to the laws of God and the Beatitudes that our Lord gave us. This is how it should go. And I think, you know, separation of church and state, you know, first of all, that was never anything that was ever codified in the Constitution. It was something that I do believe was in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote personally to somebody. But we can't take God out of our government. We can't take God out of our daily lives. You know, back in the day, when the Judeo-Christian ethos was the fulcrum upon which this entire culture pivoted, and was considered when laws were being made and formed, you know, we had a nation of people that prayed. The majority of people went to church. Prayer was in the classroom, public or private. The Ten Commandments were in schools and in our communities, and so there was this intentional and deliberate way of life that incorporated that law of God into it. And I think that's the greater problem. See, but we don't want to address that as a nation or as a people, because that means we have to give up our sacred cows. And what are our sacred cows today? Our sacred cows are, one of our sacred cows is abortion. One of the sacred cows is this notion of rights and entitlement culture. We don't want to give that. We don't want to give those things up. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. It's either going to be godlike or it is going to be anti-God. And that's where we are.
Anyway. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And even though, like you were saying, there used to be a time when everybody was praying, we always have to remember one thing, and this is from Maccabees, and I come back to this all the time, that verse where he says, is not in the number of the army, but in the strength that comes from God. Mm-hmm. So even if it's only 10 of us that are out here praying, very earnestly and very sincerely and asking the Lord for mercy, he will hear that prayer. He will hear that prayer, and it's never going to be returned unanswered. He's going to answer it in one way or another. He's going to answer it. So we just keep it up. We have to keep it up. That's where our faith comes in. That's where we have to rely on that virtue, that great virtue of faith that we're given, really infused into us that are in our baptism. We're supposed to be using it and strengthening it. And these are the times when you strengthen it. When you
That's
have
right.
something, it was easy to believe when everything's going great. But when you have these horrible things going on, that's when it's tough to really believe. And you say, how can you let this happen? I mean, that's the first question out of your mouth is, how can this happen? But we've got to rely on that faith, and you rely, like you said in the very beginning of the show, on the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to be able to live this Christian life. It's not an easy life to live.
No, it isn't. And we, this time has been entrusted to us, and us to this time. And we are the people of God, and we are the ones who are called to make a difference. Again, we don't beat the air. We're very intentional, and it always begins with prayer. But then, we've got to be a people of action, too, and we've got to make certain that we cast our votes for individuals that want to uphold all that is good, all that is true, all that is beautiful, that we break with loyalties to political parties or political agendas that are outside of the scope of a godly life. And, obviously we want to ask God to influence us in these ways. But it's pretty clear in so many ways that, this is a conundrum, but there are there have been steps that have been taken by us as a country and by us as a nation that has lent itself to creating an environment where such things happen. That doesn't release the shooter from guilt. I'm not suggesting that whatsoever, but the idea is, why is this so frequently happening? And there's more to say about that, but let's get to Dorothy. Dorothy is a first-time caller in Massachusetts, so we're ringing our bell for you, Dorothy.
Oh,
hello.
You.
Hi.
Can you hear me all right?
Oh, we hear you just dandy, honey.
Oh, great. Thanks. I wanted to add on, you know, what you were saying about taking God out of our lives is so bad. And so I just wanted to add on to that. I remember going to take a course, you know, with about Abraham, you know, and so a rabbi was giving it. And so, you know, he put on the board, he was talking about marriage and, of course, Abraham, Sarah and everything. And, you know, and then he was looking at us and saying, you know, I'm going to put this on the board. I'm going to put the Hebrew word for God up first, and then I'm going to put the Hebrew words for husband and wife, you know, here. So we've got the husband and wife underneath God, and we got God in the top in Hebrew. And I know you don't understand Hebrew, some of you, but he said, I think he circled the letter or letters that were in the Hebrew words of husband and wife that were also in the word of God. So like he said, you know, if we take these Hebrew words, Hebrew letters out of the, you know, husband and of the wife, we rabbis have studied this. If we bring the remaining letters of the husband and the wife together after those letters from the Hebrew letters of, that would have contained in God out of those words, the new word, if you bring those letters together, husband and wife, make a new word. He said, we've realized that. And the new word is fire. So what do you have, ultimately, if you take God out of the husband, out of the marriage, out of the wife? What do you have? You don't have anything but fire. So I think that's really good. And also, you know, just the word itself, when you're saying, you know, people have to turn away from evil, you know, and just the word itself, turning away from evil, if you reverse it, it means to live. Mm-hmm. So we must turn away from evil in order to live, you know,
yes,
and live God and his commandments and be obedient and be humble before him in awesome wonder and reverence to him out of love, which is the highest form of obeying him. You know, this is right. So I just wanted to add on for what you were saying, you know, and hopefully they will bring back, I believe, what you were saying. I heard a clergy person just saying that recently, that his father had told him, I think it was I was born in 1953, so he was like probably born 10 years earlier than me, and he was telling his son about how they had in the public schools scriptural passage, even mm-hmm. in the public schools back then, at lunchtime, before school, after school. And so talking about guns, I think that was even brought up at that time when they were giving this talk. And they went out pheasant hunting, and, you know, the 18-year-olds or 19-year-olds, whatever age they were. But they were having that mind thought of the love of God, I'm sure, in their heart. So
well,
like
that's
you
exactly
said, it's
right.
It's an object. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with this object. And if you're living
that's
a
right.
moral life, as you were saying, you're not going to have any of these ideas because God has already filled you. And if he's filled you, evil can't get in. It's like, you know, putting out a sign, filled. You know what I mean? You can't get in, you know, because you're already filled up with God, you know, and that's
well, you know, Dorothy, I want to thank you because I think that you really created something for us as you were going through this little teaching you gave us here. And it's really quite beautiful. And I think it spells it all out very clearly and we can see it very clearly. And I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if there's more guns today than there were in the past. I have no idea about that. But I do know that there were guns in the past and it's what you do with those guns, right? So, you know, obviously when you look at what our children are receiving in the culture of the day, that they're It's awful stuff. It's not building them up in Christ Jesus. It's tearing them down, and making them less than God intends for them to be, making them victim to their passions without any kind of reasoning capacity to determine anything. We live in a time of moral relativism. So I want to thank you very, very much for what you've shared with us today. I think it's important, and I think that it gives us a really good insight. Gives us a great benefit. So thanks, Dorothy. I appreciate it. So we're going to go to Kathy. She's in Piedmont, Oklahoma today. Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting is the way that she's with us. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I was just wondering if you think that the shooter or any of the shooters or anybody that does these kind of things are possessed by the devil, because they show no remorse most of the time. And I know we can't go into their minds or anything like that, but I read a book that you once put on your show with that Romero and the possession of the devil and stuff. And it's getting so bad. And I've worked in the pro-life clinic for 43 years, so I'm very pro-life, and I've seen a big change in the last 43 years from an occasional girl coming in pregnant because she made a mistake to where it's their right to come in and not get married and to singly have these children or to abort them if they are an inconvenience, and it's changed our world. I agree.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I agree, too. And to the question about possession, Sue, what do you think?
Well, possession is actually very rare, but they certainly are under the influence of the evil one when they're doing things like this. They're under the influence of a murdering spirit. And you have this narcissism that's just in this entitlement society. It's just running through it, running rampant through it. Narcissism, they only care about themselves and what they want. They don't even think about the ramifications of their actions on other people. That doesn't even matter to them. They don't care. They don't care about it. So I definitely believe they are, of course, under the influence of evil. Whether or not they're possessed, I mean, that's a whole different thing. But they could be. There's some out there that could be. And our exorcists tell us that their phone lines are forever ringing. They have a lot of problems with people who think that they are possessed. But there's actually a very low number of people who are seriously possessed. Many of them just need deliverance of some sort. And this is, I'm sure there's something going on with this shooter. The fact that he would do what he did is telling you right then and there that he's got some definite problems with evil, because he's consorting with it and he's reaching for evil to solve whatever problem he thought he had before this horrible event, and that he thought it was the answer to it, to pick up a gun and kill people, kill children, 19 of them. Definitely they're under the influence, Kathy, absolutely, without a question of a doubt. Whether or not they're possessed, I couldn't say that.
Yeah, we can't talk about, whether or make a determination of somebody, if the evil one is actually inhabiting that person. You can look at actions like these, and I would put this, action, in that particular category where, it is definitely a murdering spirit. There's no question about it. Something that's different than, very different than this. This is absolutely horrible. But something I think that we saw happening with regard to the leak of the Supreme Court potential to reverse Roe v. Wade, when we saw that woman in front of St. Patrick's, with a baby doll. We can't say she was possessed, but that action was an action of the evil one working through her as an instrument, right? And this is the kind of thing. You see that, and then you say, it's not a very big jump from that to what we see happening in these shootings, because it's you see and sense and smell the evil. Thank you for that. We've got Melissa out there on YouTube, and I want to get to her question too, Sue. She says, Sue, my daughter at her high school just had a hypnotist for a funny show, kids doing crazy things. What is the Catholic teaching on hypnotism? I'm feeling upset. Is this opening up to the evil one?
Yes, of course it is. For one thing, many countries in the world ban any kind of use of hypnosis for entertainment. The church bans only that kind of hypnosis that's used for entertainment. It does not condemn hypnosis. You can get that because it does have a good legitimate medical use. In fact, our own Suzanne Bars, who's a very dear friend of our ministry, she uses that, and she says that, you know, as far as hypnosis goes, if it's used in a bad context, such as, you know, New Age concepts or what happened in this high school, whether we're putting on a show with it, then that's harmful for people. But when it's in the right hands of a doctor, it can be very, very beneficial. It can be beneficial. So, but I don't blame her for being upset, because when you're using it in a school situation, I don't know if she reads our blog, but we wrote a story several years ago now about a high school up in Canada where they hypnotized the girls, and then they couldn't wake them up. The hypnotist, it was for fun. It was for entertainment. And the hypnotist had to get his mentor, who had to drive like 2 hours from 2 hours away, to come there and wake the girls up. And afterwards, some of them were nauseated and had all kinds of issues. So you should put a stop to that at that school. That's not funny. There's a lot of things can happen when you hypnotize people like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it should never be used for that kind of a purpose. While Diane is in Worcester, Massachusetts, she says abortion does have a lot to do with what's happening. And we wish we could have gotten you on the air today. And Sue, wonderful to be with you. We'll pick up the topic we were going to talk about next time we're together. We'll have a few more by then, too. It's been great being with all of you. Until we're together again, may God bless you. Bye-bye now.